So if you have your Bibles, if you can see your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Phone Bibles are certainly allowed tonight. That'd be great, because I want you to be able to follow along with me as we look tonight at Romans chapter 6. What Paul's going to do in Romans chapter 6, in the first four verses of that chapter, is he's going to answer that question that we just posed. Once my status has changed, why would I ever go back? That's what he's going to explore during these first four verses of Romans chapter 6. And so tonight, we're simply just going to walk through these verses together. And what's interesting about the way that Paul handles this question is he's going to point to baptism as an illustration in order to answer it. And so that's why we're talking about baptism tonight. It's why we're in Romans chapter 6. But I just want to say before we really dive in that some of you, at this point, are going to be tempted to check out. And the reason for that is because maybe you've already been baptized. But if that's you tonight, I don't want you to check out. I actually want to encourage you to really lean in. And here's why. Because right after I'm done preaching, we sing a couple of worship songs, there's going to be people in this tank. They're going to be baptized right before us. We're going to celebrate that together. And I do not want anybody to just sit back passively and be a spectator. Sit there and give a little golf clap like you're at the Masters. No, because see, baptism is not just about the person being baptized. It certainly is. But it's also just as much, it's about the people who get to witness it. It's also for you because it's a reminder of your salvation. And so I want to encourage you, whether baptism is not a step that you've taken or it is, I want you to lean in tonight as we read Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Here's Paul asking that question. Once you've been changed, why would you go back? Once you've been changed, why would you go back? The reason that Paul is asking this question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound, is he's referencing back to Romans chapter 5, just a few verses earlier, where in chapter 5, verse 20, Paul makes this statement. He says, "Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." So in other words, what Paul's doing is he's thinking like a lawyer. He's basically going, okay, I just said where sin increased, grace abounds. And so the next like logical question that people are going to ask is, well, if grace is a good thing and there's more grace, the more that I sin, well, can't I just keep sinning? And Paul's going to jump ahead of that argument. He's going to ask that question. He's going to take that question right out of readers' mouths. He asks this question, if God gives grace when I sin and grace is a good thing, isn't it just like a win-win to keep on sinning? To keep acting like that person that I used to be? I don't know about you guys, but man, I have been there. I have bought into that lie. When I was in high school, literally I would tell myself this. I would make excuses to go back to the same addictions. I would make excuses to go back to the same empty relationships. I would do all these things, justifying it by going, well, if God gives grace when I sin, if I know that I'm forgiven, like if I know that when Jesus died on the cross, that every sin I would ever commit would be paid for, then I may as well get my money's worth. That was the thought that crept into my mind. But notice what Paul says at the beginning of verse 2. He says, by no means. By no means. Exclamation point. And in the Greek, that's significant. Like, he's trying to really emphasize. He's trying to be as clear as he possibly can. By no means. This is not okay. And here is why. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? How can we who died to sin still live in it? That's the end of verse 2. That's Paul's reason why. He says, can we continue to sin so that we can have more grace? Absolutely not. You died to sin when you put your faith in Jesus. Matter of fact, when you put your faith in Jesus, you were freed absolutely from the penalty, the punishment of sin. You certainly were. But not only were you freed from the punishment of sin, Not only were you freed from being separated from Jesus forever, but you were also freed in that moment from the power of sin. And so what that means is that you died to your sin. That thing that you used to feel like, man, it just owned you, like you were enslaved to it. No matter how hard you tried, you could not help but run back to that thing. No matter how many times you asked for forgiveness, no matter how many times you said you weren't going to do it again, that thing that you used to continue to run to, that thing that used to enslave you, the only power it has over you is the power that you give it once you become a follower of Jesus. And not only were you saved from the penalty of sin, but you were also saved from the power of sin. And what that means is that you don't have to do the things that you used to do because you're not who you used to be when you make the decision to follow Jesus. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You're not who you used to be. And Paul says, continuing in sin and calling it grace is not the kind of thinking that comes from the new you. It's not. That's the old you talking. Continuing in sin and calling it grace, matter of fact, is a really good indicator that you might not understand what grace is to begin with. Because see, here's the thing about grace. Grace doesn't free us to sin. Grace frees us from sin. Grace changes us. And if grace hasn't changed you, like if you are claim to be a follower of Jesus, but nothing about your life looks any different, then I would just ask the question tonight, are you sure that you're really a follower of Jesus? Because grace changes us according to these verses. It takes us from who we once were to who we now are in Christ. I think about it like this. If you were on your way to Revive tonight, let's say that you roll up to Revive right now. We started at 8. It is 8:31. You roll up to Revive. You go and find your friends. And you come up to your friends and you're like, hey, so sorry I'm late. They're like, what in the world? It's 8:30. We started 30 minutes ago. What happened to you? And that friend was to tell you, hey, I was on my way. I was walking across the street. Did everything right. I stopped, I pressed the button at the crosswalk, the little green man came on the screen, and so I walked across the road. But as I was walking across the street, all of a sudden, this 18-wheeler came by and ran me over. And your friend's like, so what I had to do was there was a lot of police work and had to have some conversations with the driver of the 18-wheeler. Like, if somebody said that to you tonight, you'd be like, what? That makes no sense in our mind. Here's why. Because you can't get hit by that kind of a force and stay the same. There's just no way. And the same is true of all of us and this grace that God has lavished on us. There's no way you can be impacted by that great of a force and stay the same. You're not who you once were. You see, when we really and truly experience the grace of God, I'm not just talking about some emotional moment at a conference, not some emotional moment at a church service or a camp. I'm talking about a true encounter, a true surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. When you experience that, here's what happens. All you can do is you bring this pile of brokenness, this pile of filth before God, and you go, God, this is all I have to offer. This is all that I have to bring to you. And God would say to you, I know. And I don't condemn you. I don't cast you out because I've already paid for every single ounce of it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it. I'm going to bear it on my shoulders. I'm going to wash you clean. I'm going to forgive you because I have more grace to give than you have sin to commit. I'm going to make you a new creation. That's what happens through the power of the gospel. And let me just tell you, when you experience that for yourself, there's no way that you can look the same on the other side of it. And that's the point that Paul is making. And so what he does is he's going to paint in verses 3 and 4 this picture. He's going to give us something to serve as a reminder of this truth of the gospel. Paul's going to use baptism as an illustration, because baptism is a picture of salvation. I want you to see this, that understanding baptism actually leads you to a deeper understanding of what happened to you when you surrendered your life to Jesus. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So what Paul is saying here to us is that baptism serves as a reminder to us that we have been made new in Jesus. That's the whole reason that we do it. Let me ask you this, and I can't really see hands raised. I kind of can. Does anybody here tonight have a tattoo? It's okay. Don't be ashamed. Now, listen, I'm not asking about, like, you were out with your friends too late, you made some bad decisions, and so everybody's like, let's all get matching Mickey Mouse tattoos. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, does anybody have a tattoo, the kind that you had something significant take place in your life? You've got a memory that you want to be reminded of, or maybe somebody that means something significant to you. There's something significant, and you want to get that tattoo as a reminder, something that you can look at consistently to bring to your mind the significance of that thing or that person. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what Paul is talking about when he brings up baptism in verses 3 and 4. What he's saying here is that baptism is a reminder to us that is always with us that we have been made new in Jesus. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Baptism in and of itself does not make you new. But what it does is it marks you. It marks for you the rest. It marks for you and for the rest of the world that you now identify yourself as a follower of Jesus. That's what baptism does. And I think that the reason that, or the thing that we need to pay attention to tonight, is the reason that baptism looks the way that it does. In these verses, we get a really clear picture of that. The Bible teaches baptism by immersion. Okay, so that means going all the way under the water. The place that we get that from is the word baptizo in Scripture. It's a Greek word. It means to submerge or to saturate. And so because of that word being used in Scripture, as well as like many other accounts all throughout the Bible, where we see like in Mark chapter 1, Jesus was baptized, and the way that the Bible describes Jesus, Jesus's baptism is that he came up out of the water. Now listen, there are a lot of denominations that don't baptize by immersion. And they're still, like they're trying to do an admirable thing by baptizing, by sprinkling or whatever it might be. But here's why we baptize by immersion, is because we want to, even though it requires getting a giant tub and filling it up with water, even though it requires maybe doing some inconvenient things, we want to follow this book 100%. We don't just want to, out of convenience, follow it 25%, 50%. No, we want to, as best we can, do exactly what this book says. And the book says that baptism is something that's done by immersion. And here's why that's significant. Because in baptism, here's what we do. Here's what we do. You would climb into that tub, and I would ask you this question. I'd say, have you ever made the decision for yourself to follow Jesus? And you would say a resounding, yes, I have. Proclaiming to everybody around that I am making the decision to identify with Jesus. I'm identifying myself as a follower of Jesus. And so I ask you that question, and then I say, well, then it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother or sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, that's not like cultish words. That's Matthew 28. Where Jesus gives the Great Commission. He says, make disciples and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all I'm doing, I'm just quoting what Jesus commands when he talks about baptism. And when I say that, what's going to happen is I take you and I dunk you under the water. Not like halfway. No, I suplex you into that water. Why? Because the point of that picture is it's a picture of who you used to be dying and being buried in the same way that Jesus died and was buried. Did you pick up on that in those verses? That, like, literally baptism is a picture of the old you being buried with Christ. Galatians chapter 2:20 speaks into this, that the old me has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And so we put you under that water as a symbol to you and to the rest of the world that the old you is gone. And you see where we're going. I don't just leave you under there. Unless I don't like you, then I might. But I pick you up out of that water to symbolize that the new has come. To symbolize the power of the gospel, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you, that you've been saved now from the penalty of sin, you've been saved now from the power of sin, and one day you'll be saved from the presence of sin, getting to spend forever in Jesus with heaven. Baptism is just a picture of that reality. It's why you go all the way under the water and you come up out of the water to show the world that the old has gone and that the new has come. So we get asked all kinds of questions about baptism. We primarily will get asked this question, especially by college students. Hey, is baptism necessary? Is baptism necessary? And here's what I would say. Here's how I always answer that is, it really depends what you mean by necessary, doesn't it? Because, like, if you're asking me, if you're asking, is baptism necessary for salvation? Well, no, baptism is not necessary for salvation. Like, if you're asking, hey, I'm a believer and I don't get baptized and I die, does my ticket get revoked at the door? And that's not at all how it works. And Scripture's pretty clear about that for a number of reasons. Here's why. One, Scripture's clear, this theme in the New Testament, that your works do not save you. There is nothing that you can do, nothing, no work that you can add to the equation to help get yourself closer to heaven. And baptism is simply a work that you do. Now, it's an incredible work. It's a work that Jesus commands. But it is still something that we are doing. And salvation has nothing to do with us. You see, Scripture is clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we have been saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. And so baptism doesn't save us because baptism is a work that we add to, or we don't add to. Baptism is a work that we use as a picture of our salvation. And so you ask the question, is it necessary for salvation? The answer is no. But if you're just asking the question, is it necessary? Well, then my answer is going to be a little different. I'm not really answering the primary question. I'd probably come back to you with a question. And my question back to you would be this. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is baptism necessary? My response is, well, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If so, if he really is the Lord of your life and you have made, like, you are certain of that decision and you're making that clear, then my answer is absolutely baptism is necessary because the Lord of your life commands it. And part of lordship is, whether it's convenient to you or not, doing what God asks you to do. And so, yeah, baptism is absolutely necessary, but then there's so many questions around that, aren't there? Because some people will ask this, what if I was baptized as a baby? How does that factor into the whole thing, right? Like, I was baptized, my parents told me about it, and honestly, mom and dad, like, aren't too fond of the idea of me being baptized again. Well, listen, let me try to just explain to you this dynamic a little bit. If you were baptized as an infant, then what your parents were doing whenever you were a baby was such an admirable thing, y'all. Like, it was such a good thing. What they were saying in that moment is that they are partnering with that church it's like a covenant between them, that church, and you, that they're going to do everything that they can to raise you in such a way that you would confirm that you are a follower of Jesus one day. That's what your parents were doing. And so the question then becomes, well, if that happened to me, then wouldn't it be a bad thing to then get baptized by immersion afterwards? And I would say, absolutely not. See, here's the thing. If you were baptized as a baby and then you get baptized again as a believer, I want you to hear this. You are not undoing what your parents did. You're not. You're not disrespecting them. You're not stiff-arming them. You're not dishonoring them. You are actually honoring the commitment that they made when you were a baby. You're like ratifying that commitment. And the same is true of you if you got baptized for some reason before you got saved. This was me. Whenever I was young, I was in church. I guess it was like the night that I paid attention in church for the very first time. I don't know, because I remember I was young, and I heard the pastor that night go, if you would just pray this prayer, then you can be saved, and we're going to baptize you. And my little eyes got so big, because in my mind, what that meant was that I got to go swimming in church. That's incredible. And so I was so excited about that. I remember I immediately turned to my mom and was like, Mom, I prayed that prayer. She was like, this is amazing. And so we go through the whole process, and sure enough, I end up getting baptized. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Only problem is I had no idea what I was doing. And so a few years later, whenever I made the decision to follow Jesus once and for all, once I understood what baptism was actually all about, I then made the decision to get baptized again, because that at that point, I was now a believer, and baptism was the next step of obedience that I had to take. So baptism is something that takes place not before we give our life to Jesus, but after we give our life to Jesus. And here is one of the primary reasons that I want this for all of you, is this reality. That obedience to Jesus happens step by step. Obedience to Jesus happens step by step, not all at once. Okay, so here's what I see so many times. One of the primary reasons that I want you guys to take the step of obedience yourselves, whatever that looks like. What I see so often is a college student who comes to Jesus and is like, that gives him their whole life, surrenders to his lordship in their life. And then what they do is they get really frustrated afterwards. They get really frustrated because they're mad that they can't figure out why things in their life aren't making sense, why things aren't getting any easier. Like, why is it that I still fall into so many of the same habits that I used to? Why is it that I don't feel like a new creation, even though supposedly I am one? Well, here's what I think often happens when we skip baptism. I told you, obedience happens step by step, not all at once. And what I see so often is that college students, or really adults too, do this. They get saved, they meet Jesus, they skip baptism. They go straight from step one to steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And they're frustrated that they just don't feel like anything's changed. And the reality is, obedience is step by step, not all at once. They missed the first step altogether. And so something that I just feel like the Lord has been making so clear to me over the past year is this, that baptism is like the first step in a snowball of obedience in your faith. That like you can't just jump past the first step, try to knock out all the other check boxes afterwards and expect everything to work out. No, baptism is the first step, and obedience is a step-by-step process. As I think about this, there's a story that came to mind, and it's a story of a guy named Lane. Lane's here tonight. We had an opportunity to sit down with Lane earlier this week, and Lane shared a little bit about his story with us, and I'd like to put that story on the screen. You guys take a look at this. This is Lane's story.
place on this God-sized pedestal that only he can take place of. And that, you know, time and time again, it was almost like you said trial and error, but it was just time and time again, the ways of the world just wouldn't suffice. And then this summer, through Christ's place, God just met me right where I was. And he's got a hold of my life, and he's got the world on me. Every step of the way is just led by him, and I just, yeah, no words. And I knew what God had done in my life, you know, giving my life over to him. And I wanted to follow through with obedience. Truly hand over the reins and let go of pride, and let the love of Christ wash over you. Because that's what baptism was for me that day, June 2nd, when Ben Garrison dunked me under and I came back up. And that was, again, a change that had already occurred, but it was just this outward expression of saying, man, God's got me. What would I say to somebody who's questioning the step of obedience and getting baptized? I would honestly just ask the question, why? You want to seek the Lord with your whole heart, and you want to give your whole heart to him. So take that step of obedience and getting baptized to really publicize it to them and say, hey, my God is a sovereign God, and he has full control over my life. And I would honestly say, like, you don't know what that would mean for somebody else if they were to see you be courageous in your faith and go up and get baptized and say, yeah, I'm announcing this publicly.
Man, I am so proud of Lane and what God has done in his life over the past few months. I have literally seen what I just said a few moments ago, that baptism is like the beginning of a snowball of obedience in the life of a believer. And that's so clear through Lane's life. Like, man, the guy is just crushing it. He's serving. He's plugged in to church. He's here every week. He's inviting people to revive. The Lord's doing such a significant work in his life. And you heard him. He points back to, one, the moment that he gave his life to Jesus, but he points back to June 2nd and goes, that was a significant turning point in my relationship with Jesus. And so here's where we're landing tonight, is that if you need to get baptized tonight, I would love to offer you the chance to make that decision. We're not going to pressure you. Like, that's not at all our heart. I told you our heart at the beginning of this night is simply that you would take your next step of obedience with Jesus. But here's the reality. Like, here on Thursdays, man, we never get to do this. And so we looked at this opportunity of having a night outdoors, and we're like, there is no better, like, no cooler of a way to have Revive outside than to talk about this step of obedience of baptisms and then give people the opportunity to actually do it. So let me just kind of give you a rundown of what I'm saying. We have done all the work. We have done everything that we could do. If you're interested in getting baptized tonight, to make this as smooth as possible, we have went and raided Walmart for clothes. And we have clothes that you can literally take. We have all sizes. You can put those clothes on. We can go change in the library. We got changing stations set up, all the things. You can put those clothes on, come right back out here. People will walk you through the process. We got some students that will literally walk you through, take you exactly where you need to go. Man, that's an opportunity that you can take advantage of tonight. The first time we've ever baptized at Revive, and I don't know this to be true, but could be the first time that baptism has ever taken place on campus at University of North Georgia, a public university. Like, God is just up to something. And it's just so cool to see how this night has come together. Again, told you, this was not like plan A. But I'm so thankful that my plan A, it looks nothing like God's plans, and his plans are always better. So tonight, you have the opportunity to make the decision to be baptized, and maybe the reason that you would do that could be a number of things. Maybe for you tonight, you would make the decision to be baptized because you say, I need to identify myself for the first time as a follower of Jesus before the world, before this community of people that can look at me, can hold me accountable, and can go, man, I was there when you showed us that the old is gone and that the new has come. Maybe that's the reason for you. Maybe for you it's because you got saved a while ago, but you've been living like the old you. And tonight, maybe you would take the step of getting baptized because it might just be a turning point where you say, no more. I am for the first time going public with this thing because I'm after that snowball of obedience, step by step by step. Maybe tonight you would get baptized because you've never given your life to Jesus. And you heard what we talked about. The gospel, and you're like, man, I want that. Something is missing in my heart. I just want to tell you tonight, there is this God-sized hole that each and every one of us have in our heart from the moment that we're born, and we try our best to fill that with so many things that the world has to offer, but there is one thing that can bring ultimate, eternal, final satisfaction, and his name is Jesus. And tonight, if you want to make the decision to follow him, just like in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip tells him the good news of Jesus, and then he goes, hey, there's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Same thing can be said of you tonight. Told you we've got all the details worked out. Smooth process. Would love to give you the opportunity to take this step of obedience tonight. And just see what God might do in your life. Or potentially, in someone else's life. Maybe tonight, your baptism, like, would be something that does something significant in the life of somebody else. There's somebody's getting baptized tonight, our very first one. His name is Wiley, and he just led you guys in the first song, or the Living Hope. And, man, I had a conversation with Wiley on, Sunday. We were talking about baptism night. He goes, I've never been baptized. I'm like, Wiley. He was kind of back and forth on whether or not it was something that he should do. I'm like, bro, do you know how many people look at you on a frequent basis? Like, you don't even understand how much of a leader you are. I told him, like, you might not even know the ripple effects that could come from you taking this step of obedience. And so he's going to be our first one getting baptized tonight here in just a little bit. But what might God do in your life or in the life of somebody else if you take this step of obedience? I'll end with this. Don't let anything stand in your way tonight. If you know that that's a step of obedience that you need to take, don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let fear of man stand in your way. Y'all, it's going to sound like you and G just won a Super Bowl in just a few minutes. Like, these people are not going to look down on you. Like, we are going to cheer for you like we've never cheered before because we're about to witness a picture of the old you dying, being crucified with Christ, and being raised to new life. Don't let fear of man stop you. Don't let I'll do it another time stop you, because I want you to hear this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And so tonight, don't delay. If this is something that God puts on your heart and you're like, man, I know I need to take this step, I would encourage you to take it. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I'm done praying, I'm going to invite everybody to stand after I'm done praying. And at that moment, if you're interested in being baptized tonight, when we all stand, you just walk right over here to this tent. There's some people on our Revive team that will begin the process of getting you some clothes. They'll walk you to the changing stations. Like, we have taken care of everything that we know how to. But as soon as I pray and then I say, hey, let's all stand immediately, whether you're somebody who, like you're going to wait for somebody else, or maybe you're somebody that, like, you want to lead the way, immediately I want you to make your way to that tent. People will be there to meet you, and we'll help you take that decision tonight. But I'm going to stop talking. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to invite us all to stand, and anybody who needs to get baptized can go. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful tonight for what a relationship with you can do in our life. God, you caused the old us to be crucified with you, and you raise us to new life. Lord, we look different because of the good news of the gospel. And so, Father, I pray tonight that we would get to see pictures of that over and over and over again. I pray, God, that this would not just be something that's done because people are emotional, but that it would be a genuine step of wanting to be obedient to your call on their life. And God, I pray that the result of that would be step after step after step after step of walking in obedience with you, submitting to your lordship. God, we love you. We praise you. We ask all these things in your name. You guys can stand. If you're interested in getting baptized, just make your way right over here to this tent. We'll take care of you.